Thanks be to God.
I'm sure you're familiar with the phrase, can't see the forest for the trees. And what that really means is that you're so focused on what's at hand that you really don't see the bigger picture. You're so focused on looking at these few trees, you don't realize that there's a large forest out there. You just don't get the bigger picture. I think I've got an example of that for you. So several years ago, I was on a mission trip down in Uganda, and everything had finished up, and now it was time to buy souvenirs to come home. And so we're in the marketplace, and I'm kind of wandering around. I'm not much of a shopper. I know that's a shocker to you all. But I wander into this one shop where it had these really unusual wood carvings, and I spot this wood-carved hippo. And I just wanted this hippo. Now, why I wanted a hippo is a different story for a different time, okay? So we'll leave that till later. But I wanted this hippo. So we're in Uganda, and like many countries like this, you never pay what they're asking for, right? You always have to bargain your way through. So I was told that you first offered half of the asking price. So I engaged the shopkeeper, and I offered him half the asking price. He looked indignant. Kinda. And then he sort of smiled and let the games begin, right? And we're going back and forth, back and forth, and then we get to an impasse, right? He won't come any lower, I won't go any higher. And we're talking like 6,000 here, right? Big impasse, 6,000. He won't come down, I won't go up, so I'm gonna take my business elsewhere, and I walk out of his shop back into the courtyard. About 5 minutes later, I remembered the exchange rate. One US dollar equals 3,700 Ugandan shillings. I walked out for $1.75, people. Yep, couldn't close the deal for $1.75. All I was focusing in on was the moment. And that was 6,000 shillings, and I wasn't going to give. Big picture, what's $1.75 to me? Let's be real. What's $5 to us? And yet 3,000 shillings for that shopkeeper was a big deal. I couldn't see the forest for the trees. In Jesus' last days, I believe we see not only his enemies, but his friends that can't see the forest for the trees. They're looking at just individual events, and they're focused in on that, and they're not seeing the big picture. They're not seeing what God is about to do, because God has great plans. But as so often, we focus on the trees. And if you look at all the things surrounding Jesus' last days, everyone's focusing on the trees. They're focusing just on that event. If you look at his enemies were focusing on the trees. All they could focus on was Jesus was a troublemaker and we need to get rid of him, right? So let's go back one chapter in John. So Jesus has now raised Lazarus from the dead. The Pharisees witnessed this. They're really upset now, right? So they're in a tizzy. So they go running off to the chief priests and say, what are we going to do about this? Well, let's drop in on their dialogue. So John chapter 11. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council. This is major. We're going to get the ruling council together because we have got a big, big problem. Well, what's the big problem? It says, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. Oh, no. You mean blind people can see? Lame people can walk? If we don't watch it, he's going to bring someone else back from the dead. This is terrible news. He goes on to say, if we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. Now look at the irony there. Everyone else sees the miracles of Jesus. They see him fulfilling prophecy. They see that the lame walk and the deaf hear and the blind see, and he even brings a dead man back to life. They miss all of that, right? Why? And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. That's all they could focus on. That's all they saw. If Jesus keeps going, he does a few more miracles, The people get all riled up about this. The Romans aren't going to like this, and so they're going to come in and they're going to bring the hammer down. What does that mean? Well, first of all, that means they're going to lose their position because Rome, yes, they were in charge, but they sort of let them do what they wanted to do. They had their own ruling council. They could practice their religion the way they wanted to. So really, all in all, if you have to have a ruler over you, not bad to have the Romans there, right? But if this guy keeps going, we're gonna lose that. They can't see past that. And the Messiah, the Son of God, is in front of them, performing all the signs that they're upset about. Because they're focused on the trees. They can't see the forest. Even Jesus' friends, they're focused on the trees. Now, I know in John's gospel, he lays it all on Judas. Judas objects to Mary breaking up this jar of perfume, right? So here it is. We've got Mary and Joseph. I mean, we got Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And then we got a guy named Simon the leper who's there, right? And they're all around Jesus. And Mary breaks open this perfume and starts to anoint Jesus' head and feet. Now, everyone objects to this, not just Judas. So for instance, if we go to Matthew's gospel, we find out the other disciples are upset about this, right? So Matthew 26, and when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." So this is all the disciples. They're upset. Now, I got to give them this. It was a large sum. Because if you add it up, the cost of this bottle of perfume equaled about a 1 year's wage. So put that in today's circles, and the average American makes $50,000 a year. So we've got this bottle of perfume, which is worth $50,000. And the disciples watch Mary go out, get it, come back in, break it open, and start anointing Jesus. They're like, wait a minute. We could sell that for $50,000. Do you know how much ministry we could do for $50,000? Do you know how many people we could help with $50,000? How many people that we could feed for that? And that's all they're focused on. But now, wait a minute. It's not their money. It's not their perfume. It belongs to the household. Martha doesn't object. Lazarus doesn't object. Mary is celebrating the fact that her brother, who just 7 to 10 days earlier was dead and buried, and now because of Jesus, he's alive. And so she anoints his feet and his head. But see, the disciples, they're so focused on the fact, do you know what we could do with that kind of funding? The things that we could accomplish? They're focused on the trees. They're not seeing the forest. Now Judas has his own thing. Now, he uses the same objection that we could sell this and give it to the poor. But John gives us a little commentary on really what was the motivation of Judas. And so if we go back to John chapter 12, it says, he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. So, yeah, sure. He said that he was concerned about the poor, but that wasn't the real issue. He's thinking to himself, $50,000, wow, if we could sell this and put that into the coffers, I could like take a couple grand each week. Nobody would notice. So he's thinking about his greed instead of seeing the bigger picture, right? We're focusing on the trees because it's easy to. Let's be honest, it's easy to focus on the trees. It's easy to get caught in the moment. Especially if you're in a challenging time, if you're in a time of waiting, if something is happening in your life, it's so hard to pull back from that and to see the bigger picture. It's easier just to focus in on the trees. All right, I'll use myself as an example. I'm going to be really transparent here. I am frustrated and disappointed. Right? Frustrated and disappointed that we do not have a new DCE. We waited as a congregation until we were at a spot where we could easily put it into a budget. Thanks to your generosity, We were able to do that this year. So July 1, the new budget comes online. In August, we form a staffing committee. I'm going to have this wrapped up by November, by golly. So we're just going to go out there. We do all the right things, and we do all the right interviews. We even issue a call, and now here we are, 8 months later, we got nada. Nothing. And I just look at that, and I get frustrated. I want someone else on the team. I want someone to focus in on our family ministry, right? Shouldn't I step back? Take a look at the forest? Maybe ask the question, what is God getting us ready for? Or a better question, who is God getting ready for us? But it's hard. It's hard to pull out of the trees. And frankly, my example pales in comparison to what some of you are going through. If you've got health issues going on right now, and your week just consists of trying to keep track of all the doctor's appointments and all the tests, and you go from office to office, and you're going all over the metro area, and then it's hurry up and wait, and then this test result comes in, well, that's inconclusive, and well, we need to try something else, and well, now you gotta have an MRI, and it consumes you. Consumes you. How do you pull out of that? If you got relationship issues that are going on right now, they're broken. Maybe it's with a spouse, maybe it's with a parent, a child, a grandchild, maybe it's just with a friend, and it's got this aching in your heart because you want to put it back together and you can't, it's hard to pull out of that. If you got financial things going on, so each time you even go to the grocery store, you got a pit in your stomach, you're not sure if you should buy all of them at once, and you think, this isn't what retirement was supposed to be like. It's easy to focus in on the trees. Jesus says, see the forest. See the forest. In his last days, he wants us to see the forest, the big picture. All these individual events, they all point to a bigger event. All of these instances, they all point to the cross and eventually to the empty tomb. What's ironic in all of this is that the high priest Caiaphas gets it right. He doesn't know that he gets it right, by the way, but Caiaphas gets it right. So you got the Pharisees and you got the chief priests and you got the council up there. Everybody's in a tizzy. What are we going to do about this Jesus, right? And so Caiaphas steps up and he says this in 1149. He says, but one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. He got it right, but he didn't know it. See, what Caiaphas was saying is, if we just get rid of Jesus, we're going to be fine. If we can just kill Jesus, try and do it quietly, and get him away, then all of this talk will settle back down. Rome's not going to get upset. We're going to keep our position, and everything's going to be fine. You see, for Caiaphas, Jesus is the problem. But we know Jesus is the solution. That's the irony of this. He thinks Jesus is the problem, but Jesus is the solution, and he's exactly right. It's better that one should die so that all of mankind can live. That's the plan that the Father had. That his son, that he would die in our place so that all of mankind would live. You see, you got to see the forest. You got to see the big picture. Each of the events in Jesus' last days, they point to the cross, and then they point to the empty tomb. They point to Jesus winning our salvation and dying in our place, and then to the empty tomb of celebrating his life and our life. Caiaphas got it right, didn't even know it. Mary, on the other hand, not really sure. Don't know if Mary quite understood the significance of what she was doing in anointing Jesus' head and feet with the very perfume that would be used at his funeral. So Jesus calls it out. to make sure that nobody misses the point, to pull back and to see the forest. So if you look at it, everybody's objecting, right? Don't waste the perfume. We could sell it. We could use it for ministry. We could feed the poor, right? Jesus steps up and he says, leave her alone. Leave her alone that she may keep it for the day of my burial. See, he's pointing ahead. He's pointing ahead to the cross and to the empty tomb. He's saying, don't get caught up in the trees. Pull back and see the forest. This morning, can I invite you to see the forest? I know it's hard. It's hard to focus on the forest. And I don't want to diminish any struggles you might be going through right now, any difficulties that might be having in your life. But I'm saying instead of focusing in on the trees, can you pull back and focus on the forest and see the bigger picture? Randy Frazee, in his companion book to the story, talks about an upper story and a lower story. Maybe you're familiar with that. And what he says is there is an upper story. The upper story is God's story, right? And in God's story, the upper story, everything makes sense because you can see it from beginning to end and every instance and everything that happens in life, it all ties together. But we're living down here in the lower story. And so we're just caught in a moment in time. Now, if we could see the upper story, which when we get to heaven, we will, by the way, if we could see the upper story, we'd go, oh, that's what God did there. Oh, I see what he did. That's why that happened. Oh, now I get it. But we're not. We're caught here. We're caught here in the lower story. But you're part of the upper story. You're part of God's story. Can you pull back and see the forest? And even though you may not understand everything that's happening now, you have a God that has a plan. I believe this is where St. Paul was coming from when he wrote to the church at Rome, and he said this in chapter 8, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You see, St. Paul says, if you have a God who will stop at nothing, he'll even sacrifice his son so that you can have eternal life, won't he take care of your life right here and now as well? The God who is so concerned that you'll spend an eternity in heaven is just as concerned of what's going to happen today and what's going to happen tomorrow. But sometimes we've got to pull back from the trees and we've just got to see the forest. Back in Kampala, I'm wandering around the courtyard, still fuming over the 6,000 shillings. Takes about 10 or 15 minutes. And I'm thinking to myself, am I really going to leave this country without that hippo for $1.75? Where else am I going to get it? So I swallowed my pride. It went down hard. I walked back into the shop, and the man kind of sneered at me. And I said, sir, I said, if you would still accept this much for that carving, I would gladly pay you for it. He smiled. We shook hands. And if you'd like to see it, the hippo's in my office. Stop by anytime. Sometimes you got to pull back and see the forest. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we know that you have a plan. That's not the problem. We understand that. The problem is, Father, sometimes we get so caught up in day-to-day stuff. We get so caught up in very real challenges that we lose sight. We pray that through the gift of your Spirit that you would open up our eyes, that you would remind us again and again that you're just as concerned about daily life as you are eternal life, and that we are part of a bigger story, your story. Help us to pull back and see the forest. In Jesus' name, amen.